my beloved people, a few highlights as far as the bulletin. Wednesday of this week, of course, is Ash Wednesday. It is not a holy day of obligation, but it is a day for those of us who might possibly be able to attend Mass to be here for Mass on that day. Masses in this church on that day are at 6, 8 in the morning, and 7 in the evening. Friday of this week, of course, is the first Friday of the month, and Saturday is the first Saturday, and Masses in the chapel would be at 6 and 8. We will have Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament every Friday during Lent. The time is at 7. This Friday, of course, being the first Friday, there will be Stations of the Cross. We are, for those who attend, so that you won't go into some kind of culture shock, we are going to try to sing, the monks are going to try to sing some, begin singing some of the Gregorian Tantum Ergos and O Salutarises, so maybe we can get some duplicated to put into the pews, but so that you know what is transpiring, and that you don't think that we've gone into heresy of some form. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I felt as a child, and I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I've put away the things of a child. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, to repeat, Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday, and it is the first day of Lent. And for those of us who are conscientious, we are certainly thinking about, well, Lent is coming, and what is it that I must do during Lent in order to make the devotion proper? What is required of me during Lent? We've already gone into this somewhat, and we have pointed out what it really means to give up something during Lent. And we pointed out, of course, that giving up chocolates or giving up a drink or two or giving up extra fancy foods is not quite what we're talking about. We have to get to the meat of the matter. And what is required of me during Lent? Are my chocolates that which God is looking for? Is my drink that which God is looking for? What am I giving to God when I give him a chocolate that I'm not going to eat because it's Lent? The epistle today of St. Paul is perhaps the greatest piece of writing that we can think of. And he gets to the point. He gets exactly to the point. The unfortunate thing of it all is that we do not understand the point, and that we seek reasons to excuse ourselves from the point. Have you not ever noticed? Of course you haven't, because you're not a priest and you haven't heard confessions. But many times people come to confession and they will confess this or that or the other sin, and immediately they follow the sin with a long list of justifications, a long list of circumstances, a long list of excuses, somehow or others, that will mitigate the gravity of the sin they have just confessed. Thinking also that after all is said and done, look at my prayer life. I spend a great deal of my time in prayer. I have this devotion. Whenever possible, I go to Mass. These are the good things that I do. Therefore, certainly, these are going to be excusing factors when it comes time for judgment. Well, for the sake of those who might wish to get a clearer picture, let us repeat what St. Paul had to say about this. And if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What does that mean? Does that mean that we should become involved in some kind of social work or some kind of work outside or just being good to our next door neighbor or speaking to my wife or husband in the morning and saying good morning to them and just being gentle to our children? Is that what that means? And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. What part of nothing do we not understand? What does nothing mean? How do I interpret nothing? Am I so tremendous that I am above nothing? Are my prayers so good and so effectual and so consistent and so this and so that and so the other? I'm still nothing. And how do I expect, what do I expect of God when he comes into contact with my nothingness? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. And I thought as a child. But goodness gracious, Don't you ever dare accuse me of being a child, because I am a man. And being a man, don't you dare insult my integrity. How dare you speak of me slightingly? And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, my dear beloved people, these are some pretty powerful words. Do you not agree? This is not circus matter, is it? And if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, then here come the words. Please listen. Please listen carefully. It profits me nothing. The trouble is, that for too many of us, we have a rather strange notion of God. And the world all around us assists us in this strange notion that we have of God. It's a scrambled kind of notion. I think that we have a tendency sometimes to look upon God as some form of playmate who goes out with us and just plays games with us so we can play games back with him. There are those of us who think ourselves to be something, and that which is physical, that which is what we think is real. I pick up this book here, and I'm holding a book in my hands. This can be a book. It can be a dollar bill. It can be a new car. It can be a new house. It can be a trip to Jamaica. It can be anything. It can be a large bank account. As long as I have this book in my hands, this is where reality is. How totally stupid. When you come to die, when I come to die, am I going to take this book along with me when I leave here? I don't think so. And I think you realize that too. And yet, look at how much effort I go through in life to justify this book that I am holding in my hands. Now, if this book here is of no consequence after a certain point in my existence, and that I have to, and that I will be separated from it eventually, is this where I should put all of my emphasis? Or are we going to be so foolish as to say, well, I'll think about that tomorrow? Today, I'm very busy upholding my book. I have my job, I have my dates, I have my calendar, I have my schedule, I have all the things that I usually do every day. I've got to go to Little League, I've got to go to this thing, I've got to go to that thing, I've got other thing to do, etc., etc., and the list gets longer and longer and longer. And besides that, this is Mardi Gras, and I really, you know, after all, Mardi Gras is a tradition in my family, therefore I simply have to go to Mardi Gras, and I have to participate in Mardi Gras. Are these not some of the arguments that we present when we are in the face or in the presence of that which is not this book? And when St. Paul spoke of nothing, when he talked about nothing, do you not suppose that he was classifying this book as nothing? Do you not suppose that he had something like this in mind? If I am nothing, and this book is something, then this book should be of some assistance to me in gaining some kind of priority. Oh yes, I can go through life with this book in my hands and I will look very important and very great and very powerful and very handsome and very this and very that. But comes that time when this book is going to be dropped. It will fall out of my hands. And all the ingenuity and all the medicines and all the power and all the popularity that this world can present and can conjure up and bring up will not be able to put enough life back into my fingers where I can hold on to this book just another second. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But now that I am a man, I have put away the things of a child. We do not take God seriously. And especially now, with all of these supercalifragilistic inventions and things that we have at our disposal at this moment in the history of our history, all mind-boggling accomplishments, truly great things. But those things will work only in so long as there is a force outside of me that puts strength in this finger enough to be able to push the button that brings about all of these tremendous things that are in front of me. But the day will come when this finger here will not be able to push that button. And then what, my beloved people? It is only to the degree that I can transform myself into the image and likeness of God to that degree only will I have any dealings with reality. The only reality that there exists for me is the reality of transforming myself into His image and likeness. And His image and likeness demands, without any kind of argumentation whatsoever, for me to develop His image and likeness in me, there is only one thing that I have to do, and I must do it. And I will be judged according to the amount of energy that I put forth in trying to bring about that image and likeness, and that is, I must destroy myself. Now, people are going to misrepresent that. What does destroying myself mean? I have to go and start cutting off my fingers? Or my toes? Or my feet? Or that I have to put rocks in my shoes? Or that I give up chocolates? Or stop drinking during Lent? Or whatever else? What is the destruction of self? My ego. And that's where the problem rests. It was ego that got Adam and Eve in trouble and all of us in trouble. And until that same ego that destroyed their good fortune and ours, until that same ego is done away with, that ego that we're speaking of, that's the nothing that St. Paul is talking about. And today, with all this idiotic talk about the labyrinth and the other word, I never can think of that other word, doesn't matter, that we're putting ourselves through, but we're looking for the personality. instead of running away from the ego today, we are running toward the ego. To the extent that we place ourselves at the center of importance, I am important. And yes, I go out and I do charitable works. I go and work in nursing homes. I go to abortion clinics. I go and bring food to the poor. And I do all these wonderful, 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 wonderful things. But this is not the charity exactly that St. Paul is talking about. There remain these three: faith, hope, and charity, the great virtues. But the greatest of these is charity. And what we need to do this Lent is to find out what this word charity means. And we need to find out to what degree that word describes us. And we also need to go and get a very good dictionary, pay a lot of money for it, and one that will tell you exactly what the word nothing means. The world says I'm everything. St. Paul says I'm nothing. Who should I believe? Too many of us believe as the world would have us believe. I will read this epistle over again, if you will permit it. I want you to listen to it. I didn't write it. And it was written by someone who was definitely inspired by the Holy Ghost. And if you think that this is foolishness, or if this is just a bunch of words, 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 my beloved people, anybody who thinks that has already cast a judgment upon himself. May the Lord have mercy on such a one. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, my beloved people.